Lord, we thank you because we thank you for the victory. Lord, we prophesy to our soul that the kingdom of God now rules and must rule over the regions of our soul. Lord, we bring a peace offering. It is the offering of our soul to you, that our soul might be completely redeemed and given over to you. We say there shall not be any other king, because you will be the governor over our soul. You will rule and reign. We willingly give ourselves to you, O God, that you might seal our soul with your nature, with your name, in every way in which you desire, O God. Lord, we ask for understanding. We ask for wisdom. We ask that you might open the eyes of our understanding, O God. Lord, let the veils be taken away. Lord, give us the spirit of maturity. Lord, that spirit of sonship, that spirit of eldership, that we might come to that place where we might bring this perfect offering, even this perfect incense unto you. Lord, we pray today that your hand will be strong upon our hearts. Lord, that you might break your word. Let the mind of Christ, let that spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Lord, let it explode in our hearts, O God. Let it be poured forth in this meeting, O God. Let the trumpet of the Lord sound. For he said, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. We are praying, O God, that our soul will resurrect today, O God. That we will rise beyond all the chains, all the shackles. Lord, that we might come to that place where you have always desired. We receive strength, O God, to partake of this feast. For you say you have made the feast for us in the presence of our enemies. Lord, we say we are strong, O God, to abide in your presence and to receive that which you are giving to us. We ask for understanding, that your word will be received with understanding. Let the seed be sown, O God, in the deepest recesses of our soul, O God. Hide it in the chambers, O God, that it might begin to walk its work. For you said that your word is perfect, converting the soul. We look forward to the conversion of our soul, O God. We look forward to the change, because you are rearranging us by your spirit, and we are being changed. Thank you for the change, O God. We bless you, O God, for the victory of your kingdom that now rules within our soul. We thank you for the maturity we see. We thank you for this sweet incense we see rising up from the earth. For you say, truth shall spring forth from the earth, O God. We bless your name. Glorious is your name, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, we receive that sweet influence of your spirit, O God. We receive the sweetness of your spirit. We receive it into our being, into this assembly, O God. The sweetness of your presence, even this sweet wine, even this precious ointment, this oil, hallelujah. Even the very best of heaven, we receive it, O God. We come with rejoicing because of the table you have spread for us. We thank you for counting us worthy to be partakers of this heavenly manner. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, O Lord. We ask that you might speak, O God, for your servant hear it. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. This is more like a practical session. I don't want to say it is a war session. because someone came and declared war in the morning. So, amen. You know, when Brother Bot was speaking in the morning, I was praying that he will not go to some areas. thankfully, he did not go to some areas so that he would not take away my message. Amen. but the Spirit of God is true. Amen. Because what he says to one, he says to the other. Amen. And we are bold to declare what God is saying. And I really want to encourage you to be strong, because you are going to be strong meat. I think we are going to have some strong meat. Amen. But I think it's high time we get the strong meat. Amen. Because we have a short time. We have a short time in what has to be done. So I believe that God will help us. So I'm looking at two principles this afternoon. And there are things, tools to help us to overcome. So we're looking at how to overcome, how to beat the devil at his game. Amen. Paul says, I do not fight like one who doesn't have a goal. I don't beat about the air. And you know, for a long time, the devil has had us beating about. You know, we've been on the retreat, complaining. But I think the game is changing. So he is going to be the one complaining. Amen. Because God is giving us the tools to disarm the devil. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Okay, let me start from Revelation 7. Revelation 7 is speaking about the sealing of the saints. Verse 3 says, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. So the sealing is in the forehead, in the mind. That's where the sealing is. So we're looking at the mind. So this scripture is saying that the sealing must be in the mind. And when you look at the scripture, there is a time given. So we don't have all the time to just, you know, we'll just do church. As Brother Bot was ministering in the morning, sometimes believers, we just have church. We don't have a direction. And he was saying, you know, in the USA, God has given you some time. And he was asking, what are you going to do with the time? So the answer is, God is giving us time so that we can be sealed. Because if we are not sealed, then we'll be left behind. Amen. So that's the first thing I want you to put down, that the sealing is in the mind. So if there is one thing, if God asks you to choose one thing, you know, you have one prayer request. I think the first thing on that list would be, oh God, seal me in my mind. But you see, it's not as simple as that, because even when God speaks to me, it doesn't make an impact on me, because I'm saying, God, why do I need to be sealed? I don't know if anyone is like that. You can't quite feel the reason why you need to be sealed. Why must I be sealed in my mind? You know, why is this important? Let me look at another scripture to answer our question. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2:5 should be a conviction, should be something that should settle the question. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, so this was the mindset of Jesus. And he said, let it be our own mindset. Amen. The mind has there are different dimensions, but I just want to bring out just the basic. There are three dimensions to the mind, the way the mind functions. There are different other things, but just keep focus on this. There are three dimensions of the mind. There's the nature of the mind. Let me use another word. There is the exercise. That is when you use the mind to carry out an activity. So you have the mind, then there is the functioning of that mind. Then there is the spirit that determines the way the mind is used. Okay? So these are the three levels of the mind. So you have the mind. The mind has four different natures, subparts. Knowledge, understanding, judgment, and then wisdom. Those are the four different parts. But you see, those four parts are not just there. They are used. Okay, the Greeks call it, they use the word friend. Okay? They say friend or phronio. All of them, they talk about the exercise of the mind. When they use the word nous, they talk about the nature of the mind. The mind is the place where you can perceive things and all that. We'll come to that. But you see, this mind must be exercised. And the most important one is this. It's the spirit that determines how the mind is used. Amen. So, if I'm going to overcome, I need to know what I'm fighting. I need to know where to deal with it. Because there's a reason. Now, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he says that even though he was God, he didn't think that, you know, being God or being in that place was something that should not be shared with man. So, and the Bible says, therefore he emptied himself of God, that he might put on man, and he was found in fashion as a man.
Yes.
I don't know if you understand. So he had a mindset, and this mindset is the mindset of Christ. And the mindset of Christ is the mindset of the head and the mindset of the body also. Yes, you can. Why don't you just hold on? So, let me take it again. So, you are looking at Christ, his head and body. Christ is head and body. Head and body. There are two parts to Christ. And the mindset of the head must be the mindset of the body. And he says he emptied himself of God and was found in fashion as a man. Therefore, the man part of Christ must empty itself of man that he might put on God. So, as far as God is concerned, God wants to be in man. And therefore, the body part of Christ must be like God. So I don't know. Are you? Okay, I'll take it again. The God part of Christ emptied himself of God that he might put on humanity. Okay. Therefore, the man part of Christ must empty itself of man that he might put on God. Because God wants to express himself in man. Therefore, man must desire to express God in himself. Amen. Okay, so that is the mindset of Christ. That is the mind of Christ. And he said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So he emptied himself. He put off that glory and put on man. And we should not think it anything extraordinary that we should be putting on Christ, that we should be like God. Amen. God wants us to be like God. Amen. But you see, that is a statement. How do we get there? How do we go from where we are to where he wants us to be in a practical day-to-day activity? Amen. I'm sure you're saying, where is this brother? Where is he going to? So just follow me to Romans 8. Romans 8, 5. I'm giving you the scriptures so that Romans 8, 5 is speaking about the mind. And he's telling us about two types of mind. So he says, for they that are after, that word, it's an old word. It means those who are controlled by the flesh. By the way, when the Bible uses the word flesh and spirit, within the context of Paul, he's speaking about two things. The mind on its own, without the influence of any spirit, is regarded as flesh. Flesh means the raw, bare nature of the mind. That is what in biblical times is called flesh. Alright? Now, if you read Thayer, Thayer says it is the mind without a divine influence that compels and impels and forces it to function in a particular way. So the mind, like Barak was telling us in Czech, he spoke about the negative and the positive. The mind is of a lower spiritual nature that must be ruled by a higher spirit. So that's why you have this third element, that the mind must be ruled, must be influenced, must be directed. And when that direction is not by the Spirit of God, the Bible says it is flesh. But when it is controlled and directed by the Spirit of God, the Bible says it is spirit. Okay, and if you go to verse 9 of that scripture, it explains itself. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Okay, so that defines it. You know, so when you say, well, for instance, Paul says, if we are in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. I can have the spirit in me, but decide to block the spirit and walk all the time in the flesh. Amen. And without being rude, being nice, being a very nice brother, very gentle. You know, you can have this message and walk in the flesh all the time. Do you understand? You know, you may have sat on Abraham to say you know all the messages is in you, you write it, you can preach it. But all the time, I'm walking in the flesh. Do you understand? So it's not a matter of what I have heard or what I know. It's a matter of action. Where am I walking? Because Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, okay, you must walk in the Spirit. So there are two things. I might have the Spirit of God in me, but not walk in submission to that Spirit. And that was why I put up this chart of the three natures and the three dimensions. Please, can I have some water? So let's go to back there. Thank you. Let's go back to that chapter 5, verse 5. For it says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So what determines if I'm in the flesh is my mind. Not just my mind, but the exercise of my mind. That's what determines if I'm in the flesh or in the Spirit. So, at the end of the day, the whole thing is, how is my mind working? How do I use my mind? Because that is the product God is looking for. Because that is what he's going to measure. Amen. Now he says, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. Now, the way God has arranged the soul, you know, Brother Bob put up the picture, is that the head of the soul is the mind. You know, in Germany, I saw a cross, so I was talking about the cross. If you look at the cross, the head of the cross is like the mind. Across the cross, we have the horizon, the crossbar, okay, and that will be the emotions and the desire. And right at the foot of the cross is the servant. He's going to go anywhere you want him to go, and it's the will. So the mind commands the will where he wants to go. All right? But it so happens that the emotions and the desire have taken captive the mind. So the mind cannot really go where he wants to go. I don't know if you are getting my illustration. Because see, this is what happens in the practical setting. Alright, so the mind is the head of the soul. And the energy of the soul really should come from the mind to energize the emotions and the will. And the mind commands the will what to do. Okay, so if the mind says the energy in this soul must come from darkness, then the will is set on walking in darkness. So the will is fixed to walk in darkness because the will is fallen. You can't help yourself. So you see a man, he's an alcoholic. You do everything you want to do for him. At the end of the day, if you have not done anything to deal, to help the structure of his soul, he's going to go back to the bottle. All right? So he comes to the conference. After the conference, he comes down to the truth. He is bound to the bottle because the will is set on being excited. The emotions are set on being quickened and energized from the bottle. Because that's where it comes down to. It's, what do I do with darkness? How do I react when I am tempted? How do I react when I hear a gossip? They said, oh, brother so-and-so-and-so said so-and-so-and-so. I didn't say it, but how are you going to react? It is not when you hear the gossip that you learn how to react. You must have trained your soul how to deal with it before it comes. Amen. Amen. And that's why we're at this conference. You know, because it's when a work class, we're trying to learn how to rearrange the soul. Because the devil has rearranged the soul to suit him. Amen. Okay, so I'm sure I can read down and down. I don't know if you can permit me to go out of Romans 8 today. I can go somewhere else. You know, but I'm trying to establish that the mind is the central point of the soul, the chief functioning of the soul. If you want to change the man, change his mind. If you want to overcome, you overcome in your mind. Amen. And God has his own way of change for the mind. Amen. All right. Now the mind functions by one major principle. It's called senses. That is the principle. Now, the devil understands it so much that he has invested everything, all his weaponry, all his methods, all his ammunition, all his army, all his, what else again? Everything the devil has done is built on the senses. So in other words, he hasn't done anything else. He has maximized the senses. So, if I overcome the devil in the area of my senses, I've won the battle. Do you agree with me? Okay, I'll give you the scripture. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Okay, now Matthew 16 from verse 15. Jesus made a very profound statement. That's really what I desire that we should talk about today. We'll talk about the gates of hell. But let's read the scripture. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father in heaven. And I say unto you, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Put it the right way around. That the church I am building are going to be the church that will overcome in the area of the gates, the entrances into the soul. Amen. Now, a gate is the entrance into a city, isn't it also? Now, when you look at Proverbs chapter 8, it's speaking about someone who is at the gate, at the entrance of the city. And that city is speaking about the soul, about the mind. Praise God. No response. Okay. All right. So there are two types of senses. You have the senses in the body, and you have the senses in the mind. Praise God. No answer. Amen. So we are looking at how to switch off the rampage of the devil. The devil is running amok. He's running wild. So we are looking at how can we switch him off. So please, don't sleep. I know you ate some very good food. Just try to be alert. So let's look at this. This is a very simple message. We're talking of the mind. And we say the central point of the mind are the senses. So these are gates. There are the senses are the way through which you have access. Brother Bot was speaking of something that the Lord, you know, something I saw in the spirit, that the realm of heaven is more real than this building, than here, everything you see here. There is a place of activity in the spirit, as active and as real as the physical life. And most often, we are not aware of this heavenly reality. All right. So, again, in Germany, I was telling them, I wish you could stand like me and do like this. if you are sleeping, if you feel like sleeping, you can stand up and exercise like me and stand like this. This is the soul. The soul, this is the soul, but it has two legs. The soul is from my head to my waist, but it has two legs. One leg is in the earth or in the physical realm, another one is in the heavens. So if I ignore the spiritual dimension, I'll just be kidding myself. It's not real. I'm not real. Because the soul lives in two realms of reality. The physical reality and the spiritual reality. Amen. Are we agreed on that? Okay, very good. Okay, so this is the physical, and then this is, well, let me know, you could use the word mental, but really you want to say this is the heavenly part. So you have the heavenly reality and the physical reality. And if you want to, you know, again, you know, just do some exercise. If you close your eyes, close your ears, close your nose, you're out of here. If you close your eyes, close your ears, close your nose, and you stitch this up, yeah, you are not in this world. Okay, so we have the senses in the body, and there are five of them. Now, these senses are also in the mind. What you have in the body, you also have in the spirit. And the devil knows it. And he knows you don't know. And he knows that you are not interested in knowing. And he's very, very happy with that arrangement. Because while man slept, he is busy. He is busy. And I hope I can show you the ceiling. The devil is doing a work of ceiling.
Yes, right.
And I'm telling you, you know, what Brother Bot was saying in the morning, this is not about, you know, going to work, going to school, eating, having children, forget it. It is about ceiling. It's about darkness. All right, because darkness must seal the earth. The darkness must seal the soul. God has given it a time frame. He talked about the Alpha and the Omega. It is a time given which is a time frame which darkness must seal the soul. And also light must also seal the soul. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So there are two types of sealing going on. Alright? And God, the purpose of time, of life, is that darkness has been given free hand to seal the soul of whoever wants to. But God will have a remnant. And I pray that you and I will be in that remnant.
Yes.
Of those who also will decide not to be sealed with darkness, but to receive the sealing of light.
Yes.
Amen. Alright, so we're going down to the basics. We're looking at these five senses. We know the senses of the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tasting, and then the touch. The same thing, the eyes, the ears, the nose or the discernment, the tasting, and then the touch. But I know you're looking for scripture. I'll give you 1 John chapter 1. Say, that which we have seen, that our hands have handled, and our ears have heard, of what? Of the word of life that was in the beginning.
In the beginning.
It had to be a spiritual reality. You understand? He's speaking about the word of life that was at the beginning. Say, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And that word was God. And that word was made flesh. So, the reality of knowing God. This is the reality of knowing God. I hear someone was talking about John 4 yesterday. In John 4, they told the woman, you worship what you do not know. By the way, that woman represents all of us in this room. Because we are part of the church, is it not? How many of us know God? Okay, when you say you know God, you need to taste it by the five senses. You need to have eyes that see God. You need to have ears that hear at the level of the voice of Christ. You need to have nose that discern the things of God, that discern the presence of the Lord. You need to have the ability to partake of the things of God. And then finally, you need to have the ability to lay hold, to hold, to grasp, to bring to yourself, to make real in your life of the reality of God. And John, Jesus said, this is life eternal, that we might know. Now, how can you know someone you cannot see? It's not a matter of wishing, but the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes. So, you and I, you come into an experience of someone you have not seen. In other words, we are worshiping a form. You are imagining who God is and what he's saying. So, I need to come to the point where there is a reality. Something happens in the realm of my mind that I can see him. And look at John. He says, I saw him high and lifted up. Do you know what he did? He was on the ground. He was slain. You know, the reason why we have so much contention is that we have not really seen the Lord. It's really. Because when you see God, you know it's a different thing. Amen. Any man who sees God is on the ground. When Daniel saw the angel, he said, there was no strength in me. You understand? He fell as dead. You know, today we are so strong because we are still men. We have not seen the Lord. Amen. No amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm talking about the senses. That there are senses in the mind, and there are senses in the body. Now, if the body wants energy, what does it do? It uses the eyes. It uses the ears. It uses the hand. I mean, 30 minutes ago, you were doing something. You were using your hands. You were using your eyes. You were using your taste. And you are having, there was a lot of activity, excitement. But you see, what you are doing was ministering to your emotions, to your desires. So we get the key. And the devil knows it. Alright? So the devil knows that the way into your soul are two ways. Either you go through the body, through the senses in the body, or you go through the senses in the mind. Are we still together? Now, where the devil really wants is the mind. Okay? So, the devil is after the mind. And he knows that the soul is linked to the senses in the body. He knows that the senses in the body have a direct link to the mind, to the emotion, to the desire, and the will. And he also knows that you and I do not know. And we are not interested in knowing. Because we have labeled it unspiritual. It's not spiritual. It's not important. He said, thank you very much. Amen. And the Bible says, where there is no vision, where there is no knowledge, my people perish. Because the church says we don't want to know. Knowledge is not for the church. Really? So the Lord gives wisdom and he gives knowledge, he gives understanding. It comes from him. Oh no, we will come to that. So the point I'm trying to make, brethren, is that there is a link between your eyes and your emotion. There is a link between your eyes and your desire. There is a link between your eyes and your mind. And so the devil is made for him. He doesn't need to go very far. All he needs to do is to invest on the natural world. But we need to examine the natural world. We need to examine the natural world. By the way, who rules the natural world? You know, in Czech, when Brother Mark was ministering, there was something that God, I saw something there. Do you know that there is a place where the devil and you meet? There is one place that unites the devil and me. Where is the place? It's the body. He says, dust thou art. And to dust you will return. And he said to another one, this dust is your food. So, the dust is the uniting catalyst, the gum you are speaking of. If the devil brings you to the dust, you are in his territory. You are his food. And you know, someone says the church has, he says the soul has fallen in love with the body. The soul should really fall in love with the heavens. But it has fallen in love with the earth. So whatever you do, the soul keeps going. Because it's fallen. And the devil knows it. He was talking about the weakness, the weak buttons. There are some buttons in you. The devil knows very well your weakness. And he knows your weakness is with the earth.
That's right.
And someone says they are lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. We sing very well. We play very well. We preach very well. However, we love the flesh more than we love God. So the devil says, yes, I have it. That's the advantage. Amen. And you know, Brassens once told us, desire nothing. And what happens to you? The devil won't help you. So desire nothing, and then you're on top of the devil. But is it really possible not to desire anything? So how can we achieve that? So we are back at these five senses. Because, and we see that there is a direct link between the five senses in the body to the different dimensions. So you have the desire, you have the emotion, you have the mind, and then you have the will. Now, when we go to 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14, what does it say? 1 John 2, 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what is it that is in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Well, I'm just going to give you what I was given. So if you look at this scripture, the three things are addressing the horizontal. The lust of the eyes is from the desire. Agreed? The lust of the flesh is also from the desire. So the desire has two doses. That is two dimensions. Alright? You have the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. So it's not just a question of making a resolution to say, well, from today, I will no more watch Super Bowl. That's not going to solve the problem. It's not a matter of saying, from today, I'm not going to watch Super Bowl. Because there is something behind Super Bowl. You cannot destroy the goods of the strong man unless you bind the strong man. And you come to the church, there's a problem with lust. Is that correct? Yes. Is that correct? Yes. Okay, let's look at the other one. Pride of life. It's emotion. So, the pride of life. And then you have two. Loss of the eyes and the loss of the flesh. These are the giants. And you know, the whole thing is built on this tree. And you say it is the gates of hell. It is the gates of hell. The devil doesn't need to go very far. He doesn't need to design anything new. What he's doing is maximizing on this tree. And Jesus says, I will build my church. My overcomers must come to the table. You know, you Americans say that he didn't come to the party. You understand? You know, you came to the ball game, but you didn't come to the party. That is, you are not prepared. You understand? So the man must come to the plate and bat. You understand? You know, so if the batsman is going to the baseball game, he must learn how to see the ball and know how to hit it. And he has one chance to hit it and get it. It so happens that many of us have not come to the plate. We are just not ready. We don't know what is there. And we think it's a matter of singing songs and doing this. But it's a matter of the gates of hell. It is a matter of the emotions. It is a matter of the desires. And the devil has us. He has built his kingdom. You know? Someone talks about the American dream. Well, you try and analyze the American dream. Well, I can help you. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You don't need to go very far. That's where it is. You know, he talked about, training the children, and the children have to be this and this and this. It all boils down to what? The pride of life. Amen. So, the church must do business. God is saying, I must do business. If I want to overcome, I need to come to the big one. We're talking about the big one. Okay, many of us have paid prices. We have forsaken families. We've made choices. We've made sacrifices for the kingdom of God. And it is very much appreciated. But God is saying, are you ready to come to the big one? Are we ready to come to the big one? Okay. Well, I want to tell you, this is not for boys and girls. this is the big one. Okay. Now, these five senses are linked to an important principle in the scriptures. The Philistines. Because the Philistines had five cities. They had five lords. They had five princes. And by the way, Philistia means to roll in the mud. I don't know if you understand. To roll. To wallow in the mud. Oh, roll, okay. I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Okay, so we are now together to roll in the mud. You ever saw a pig? I don't know. I heard there's some farmers here. How many of you have pigs? You know what happens. After you've given it the bath, you scent it up, dress it up, you do everything. It's going to the Bill Conference, Skylar Conference, Muhammad Conference, yeah, all the conferences. You know what's going to happen next? The problem is the Philistine spirit. Amen. The Philistine spirit. It has a scent for the earth. It has a taste for carnal things. Amen. So, if I want to deal with it, then I must dig deep. But it so happens that we don't want to dig deep. We want the quick fix. Alright? And there is no quick fix in this matter. You know, I found out that I must roll my sleeves. I must get ready for war. Do you understand? Because these guys are not going to quit easy. They are not going to just throw up and... You know, go and look at the history of the Philistines. They continually made war with Israel. So, God is calling us to a place of warfare. Amen. Now, let us look at the gates of these five guys. The first one is called Gad. Second one is called Ashdod. The third one is called Ashkelon. Sorry, yes. The fourth one is called it's Gaza, and then the last one is Ekron. Let me just ask you a question. In all the places in the Bible, where was it? Who was so bold to capture the Ark of the Covenant? Do you know a people so bold, so strong, that they captured the Ark of the Covenant? I guess where they took it to. They took it to their sitting room. They took it into their kitchen. You see where they went to? They took it to the house of their God. And where did they go to?
Dagon.
Okay, let's talk about Dagon. Dagon is half fish, half man. Is that correct?
Yes.
But that's not all about Dagon. Dagon was a fertility god. Fertility. Fertility. All right? It has to do with sexuality. All right? It has to do with sexuality. No, so the devil is very clear what he's doing. He's not playing games. He knows where his strength is. His strength is sex. Yes. And by the way, sex is not of God. Fellowship is of God. I don't know, are we all together?
Yes.
Are we together?
Yes.
Sex is not of God. But fellowship is of God.
Yes.
So God made the man and woman to have fellowship. To have intimacy. Anything else you have is not of God. But you know the big thing? It's sex. It's Dagon. So, where do you find Dagon? The ark is inside Dagon. So, this is a spirit that defiles. It is a defiling spirit. He takes the things of God and he defiles it. By the way, who is the ark? Who is ark? Who is the ark of the covenant? The Ark of the Covenant is nowhere to be seen. So, let's forget the physical Ark. Who is the spiritual Ark of the Covenant? Alright? So, wherever the Ark is, the Philistines are interested. They want to take the Ark and bring it into the house of Dagon, that they might defile the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. So what we find is that we see a spirit walking in the church. We see a spirit walking among those who are intending to overcome. And yes, I know we don't want to talk about it. Okay, so I'm not going to talk about it. You know, I'm talking about marriage. Well, you know, Brother Says talked a lot about it, so I'm hiding under Brother Says. So, I understand that last 2 weeks someone was posting a lot of things on Sunlight Devotional about Tammuz, Ezekiel chapter 8, weeping for Tammuz, and so on. So, I'm very safe, you see. My brethren, we are looking at strong spirits. But I want to draw your attention to something. Look at this one. Gat. There is something peculiar about Gat. I hear there are giants in Gat. Giants. They have 6 fingers, 6 toes. When you multiply it, what does it give you? 24. It's a priesthood. So you are speaking about a priesthood of the flesh, darkness, pleasure. So let's examine these Philistines. Ashkelon means merchant. Ashkelon means a merchant. A merchant. Someone who's he's selling. He's a salesman. He's a sales executive. He's a client man. He's a front office man. He has things to sell. But what is he selling? We'll see in a while. Gaza means what? means wine press.
Wine.
So you're speaking of pleasure. I think I have it mixed up. I think Gaza, Gat is the one that means wine press. Wine press. It's a piece of pleasures. No. Gaza, I think, means stronghold. Gaza, I think, is stronghold. I don't have time to look at my notes, but I think Gaza means stronghold, if you check. And then Gat means wine press. And it's appropriate. Because the wine press speaks of the pleasure. And that's where you have the giant. They are a tribe of giants. And you know one of them? Goliath. So the devil had trained champions. And it is running amok in the church. No one is ready to come out to fight. Pleasure. Don't you understand? Huh? There are giants that are running, intimidating the people of God. Marriages, young people. The young people are gone. Because strong men have taken hold of them and taken them away. You understand what I'm saying? So, and then you look at Ekron, the last one. It means to pull up by the roots. It means to immigrate. So you know what? This is something that creates a desert condition. It creates a wilderness condition. The word of God, the ministry comes and he plants seeds. God begins to start something in your life. What does the devil do? He comes and he plucks it out. So you see yourself ever learning, ever conferencing, and never able to bring forth fruit. Because there is a spirit that is pulling it by the roots. So when you combine all these ones, you can see the strength of the senses. So if you're going to overcome in the senses, it is beyond resolution. I will not be given to entertainment anymore. I will not buy television in my house. My children will not watch television. I close my eyes, I close my ears. It's more than that. Because you're dealing with the spirit. Amen. So you must identify that you are dealing with the spirit. And I must identify that I am dealing with the spirit. I'm dealing with a spirit that has a strength. You see, the fish, it speaks of the sea. It speaks of the ocean. It speaks of the masses of people. Can you imagine the masses of people who are on the internet? If you are not switched on, you are inconsequential. There are millions who are switched on. And the Bible says that there is a flood coming. Don't you understand? And you say the earth. Oh, should I really say America? Okay, sorry. Nigeria is part of it. The earth has opened its mouth wide and is growing by the day. So, and the devil is not going to change his method because it has worked. And he has hooked the church. He has hooked me, my mind. He has hooked, you understand? So I'm saying, how am I going to break free? How do I get out of it? Amen. I thought you would say amen. Okay. So, first I learned the trick of the devil. I don't have a control over it. The lust of the eyes is linked directly to my emotion. Do you understand? So, my emotion has an addiction. Actually, my emotion has a disease. My emotion has a spirit that has lodged itself within it. My desire has a spirit that has lodged itself. Because those spirits want life. Alright? So the only way they can get life is to get me to open up my soul. And then they can get some life. Alright? So my starting point is repentance. Can that be our starting point? Yeah. That's the starting point. Repentance. That is, repentance means I come to God, I say, okay, let's cut the deal. I'm Jacob. Do you know the man? You know the man? Okay, he took a long battle. God knew, but the man knew, but he didn't want to own up. And you know, I'm like that. Let me not say many of you. I'm just telling you about myself. I said, okay, God, it's true. I'm Jacob. You know, there are many things in me I don't even want anybody to know. I'm sure you don't have any. There are many things I say, oh my God, where am I coming from? Do you understand? Okay, let me give you a scripture. David said, he has brought me from the miry clay. Huh? What did he do? He set my feet upon the rock. And therefore, I can shout. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, I can go from the pit to the rock. And he says, he will make me to walk upon my high places. I say, fine. The problem is not my high places. The problem is not the problem I have within. My problem is, am I willing to move forward? Do I want to come out of the pit? Amen. And if a man comes to God and says, well, it is true. I agree. So the first point is repentance. Yes. And repentance means agreeing with God. They say, it is true. Now, the second point, forget about all these east gate, all these things. What you do, you open the east gate. So there are three keys. The first one is repentance. Number two, open the east gate. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to overcome, open the east gate. Hallelujah. So let's look at it. God is not going to minister to me from the world. God is not going to make any investment in bringing life to me from the earth. There is no life for me in the television. There is no life for me in the internet. Although, I have to confess to you, I'm still arguing with God, but I can get some life. I'm just telling you about it so you can pray for me. I said, but I can get a little bit of life, you know. But the thing is, for the 1% of life I get, I'm willing to spend 6 hours. You understand? And then for the 99% of life I can get from the heavens, I'm willing to spend 10 minutes. Well, that's my problem. So I'm saying, God, I need to make a change. You know, so when you are singing the song, I'm being rearranged. I hope you really know what you are singing about. What is God rearranging? What is he rearranging? Is it the way you dance? Maybe if I used to dance like this, now you're dancing like this. You learn a new dance step. Is that what God is rearranging? Because he says, on the day of atonement, we must afflict the soul. That means my lifestyle has to change. And when you go and look at it, the world comes from one seed, the seed of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember, it is knowledge, it's a mind. The whole thing is coming from the mind. Everything you see on this campus came from the mind. So, everything you see in the world comes from the mind. If God is going to give me life, it is not going to be from the University of Dubuque. David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. Okay, they say this brother is preaching allowance. No, it's just wisdom. If you open the east gate, the other gates will close on themselves. You understand? If you give time to opening the east gate, before you know it, the other gates will close. You see, my soul will be rearranged. And I will begin to have excitement in the things that are heavenly. Okay, scripture. I'm going to end with this. I think I'm doing very well. Yes, I'm coming to the third key. So we have, I don't know. You are following me. So we've got the first key, repentance. Okay. Second key, open wide the east gate. Don't bother about these other ones. Yes, you are watching television. You like this show. You like that Super Bowl and all that. You know, you watch it when you know when you are alone. Brother Boss is not there. And all that. There's no problem. There's no problem. Oh my God. Well, I should actually tell myself. Okay. Proverbs 2. I really encourage you, cut your teeth on Proverbs. Proverbs 2, 3, 4. They have the keys. That is the third element. Proverbs 2, 3, and 4. So let's look at Proverbs 2. Yes, Proverbs chapter 2, 3, and 4. Many of them, but those ones, they are very direct. And it shows the reverse, the reconstruction, the conversion of the soul. Okay, that's what you see. And I'm bringing it because I feel God wants to encourage some of us. We have been long in this battle. And some of us are feeling like quitting. You feel like, oh my God, can I ever overcome? He said, can the prayer of the mighty be delivered? What did the Bible say? Yes. Even this mighty man shall be delivered. Amen. So, how do you open the east gate? Of course, you know the east gate is a mind. Alright? So, the devil has established the worldly system. Okay, and those worldly systems, they have three legs. God told Abraham, come out from your nation, you come out from your tribe, and you come out from family. Those are the three dimensions of everything you see in Dubuque. It's arranged in that. Okay. And that is the kingdom of the devil. By the way, America is just 2,000 years old. 200. Oh, sorry, 200 years old. There was a kingdom, I was surprised, there was a nation called Austria-Hungarian. After the First World War, it ceased to exist. So, countries, America, Nigeria, all those are temporary creations. You understand? You know, so, we shouldn't really bother so much about it. God is saying, these national things, we must realize that they belong to man. And they do not have anything to give to my soul. Yes, I can enjoy the benefits. I can enjoy, you know, being an American citizen, being a Nigerian. It gives you certain things. But, you know, when I got to the Czech airport, well, coming back, you didn't know what I did. I'm sure this brother didn't know. But as I was walking, I said, I'm not a Nigerian. I'm not a Nigerian. I'm not a Nigerian. I was saying to myself, I'm not a Nigerian. I'm not a black man. I'm not a black man. I'm from Zion. Do you know, because when I normally come in and say I'm a Nigerian now, they will look at me and start saying I'm a black man. So I have a complex. So as I came here, I said, I'm not a Nigerian. I'm not a black man. I was citing my own words. Don't you understand? Uh-huh. So you might have to do some of those things. You wake up in the morning and say, I'm not an American. I'm not an American. I'm not an American. I'm not from Germany. I'm from heaven. You understand? So you need to go do some of those things to help your mind. Okay? And when I did it, I had less trouble. I didn't notice anybody was looking at me. Because I'm not a Nigerian. I'm not a black man. Don't you understand? When I got to immigration, quickest time at the immigration, bam, 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 I was out. 2 minutes. Because I'm not a Nigerian. I'm not a black man. Before, they will ask you, how much money do you have? Where are you coming from? Who bought your ticket for you? What do you do? Oh. So, does that mean I'm overcoming? Yes. Anyway, I wanted to make sure you are not sleeping. Okay, so... So let's go to Proverbs 2. I will soon end. Okay. Now it says, my son, if thou will receive my words and do what? Hide it. Where do you hide the word? Remember, Ezekiel told us that the soul has chambers. Your soul has chambers, has realms. And I hope you will not be angry with me. But those chambers have occupants. Yes. The chambers are not just there. There are some guys who think they need the chamber more than you. And they are there. Amen. So how are you going to get them out? How do you get them out? Remember, it is those spirits in the emotions that are making your emotions to function the way they are functioning. Remember, there are spirits that are in the desire. There are spirits in the mind. Okay, those are the four winds of the earth standing at the four corners of the earth. There are spirits. In fact, the Bible calls them, it says the powers of the darkness of this world. There are spirits, high wickedness. They have lodged themselves in the mind. And guess what? They are maximizing. I thought I was going to get into that aspect of the message, but not, certainly not. Well, we'll have another time. We'll look at the maximization, the way the devil is sealing the soul. That is a different thing. We'll look at it later. But there are spirits that are within. I know we have spent 2,000 years arguing, can a spirit be living in a Christian? But I'm sure the jury is out now. The jury is out. Because remember, when those spirits entered the swine, where did they go? Straight into the sea. Alright, so it's clear. So, now when you hide the word of God, what does the word of God do there? The Bible says the light shines in darkness. And the darkness cannot resist it. Alright? Now the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Alright? By doing what? But giving heed. Someone says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. So, what is my job? My job is to open the east gate and hide the word of God. What God does with that word is his business. But I must keep my own part of the business. I must hide the word. He says, my son, receive my word. The Hebrew word for receive means to lay hold, to seize and guard, to treasure it. Now he says, if you incline your ear and apply your heart to understanding. So that's number one, is to open your mind, is to bring your mind open to the things of God. That's the first step. But it doesn't stop there. Look at the next one. Verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure. What is he talking about? He is saying, get the emotion, get the desire involved. I don't know if you see the chain. See, the mind must first of all offer itself to God. When the mind begins to rise, the emotion and the desire begin to rise with it. Amen. I don't know if you get the principle. See, your emotion will always can change. Your desire can change. But it determines on what is happening to the mind. And the Bible says the carnal mind is... Hallelujah. So if I want to change my emotion, where to change is not by making rules and regulation. What you need to do is to what? Open the east gate. Open your mind. And that is called the peace offering. The peace offering is the offering that brings the inward parts and offers it to God. Amen. Okay, let's see the change. I will soon end. Verse 5. Then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. Then thou shalt understand righteousness and judgment and equity and good work. Verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thy hand, and knowledge is what? Pleasant to the soul. In other words, the change begins to come. Where the soul is excited by the things of God. Amen. So this is the place where you naturally, you know, the things of God are flat. You really have to struggle to fast and all that to be excited. But you see, when the change begins to happen, before you know it, your appetite, your capacity for the things of God also begin to change. He said, then they will be pleasant to your soul. Verse 13, 11. Discretion shall preserve you. Understanding shall keep you. He said, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight, so on and so on and so on. So I can see that time is running, but I don't have time to read, to look at Proverbs 3 and 4. When you look at it, you will see the change, that there is an order for the overcoming. The first place where the change must be in the mind. When the mind changes, the emotion and the desire will follow. And he says you must cry out. One of the people that cried out is Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish. And the fish represents our job. The fish represents marriage. The fish represents sexuality. The fish represents habits. Alright? And many of us are in the fish. We are in the belly of the fish. The belly speaks of the desire, isn't it? Not? And this, it crawls, the creeping things. It's headbound. But you see, this man was there and he cried to God. See, belly was Jonah was in the belly of the fish. And God heard him. And God commanded the fish. Release the man. Hallelujah. God can bring a deliverance to our circumstance, to our situation. The problem is not the system that has swallowed us up. The thing is, we are actually enjoying, we have benefit in that relationship. Oh, I thought I would hear amen. Yes, we enjoy, we have benefit in the things that have overwhelmed us. The day we don't want it, God is going to bring a deliverance. And that's why God is going to bring tribulation, to try to convince us. The tribulation, you know, it's a quick way to bring me to a place where I no longer want it. I say, oh my God, I've had enough. Please, can you command the fish to... Okay, it's Balo. So, don't look at the fish. Look at it. What is it that we are benefiting? And usually what we are benefiting is pleasure. Because, you see, the devil has made us pleasure seekers. The flesh loves pleasure. And the modern Western society is built on pleasure big time. You understand? It's pleasure big time. You know, so if I'm going to overcome pleasure, I don't come and say, I bind you pleasure, no? You go and invest in that which has control over pleasure.
Amen.
Now, the mind is the key. Because the mind is that which gives life. Now, let me define obedience to you. What is obedience? What does it mean to obey or submit? It says the carnal mind is not obedient to the law of God. What does it mean? Obedience means the situation in which you submit your emotions and your will and your desire to carry out an activity. That's obedience. And it is the mind that commands the body. So that's why the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the ability of the mind to get the emotions and the desire and the will to go in a particular way. And there is a wisdom that's from God. If I have the wisdom of God, then my emotions and my desire and my will line up with the will of God. Amen. If I have the wisdom that is from the, that is carnal, what does it do? My emotions and my desire and my will are all contrary to God. So, the key is in the mind. And the life that comes to the mind must come from God. That's the way God designed it. Alright. So, if I open my mind to God, then the life of God starts coming. When you're in a conference like this, this is big time for the mind. Because the word of God is coming, your mind is set on the things of God, the life of God is flowing. But you see, we can actually do this at home. We can have conference every day. Amen. You know, and one of the things I remember about saying to us is that our minds are not tuned to God. You see, we're not thinking about it. After some time, we switch off. I switch off. I'm tired. But you see, if I switch off, what do I really do? I switch on the world. So there is energy to be tapped from the heavens. But the thing that we hardly switch on. You know, so I think what we can take out of this message is that God is saying we must come to a place of repentance. And we must switch on the east gate.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And I say to people, one little step is all that you need. You take another little step. 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 So I'm not looking at taking giant steps. I'm looking at just one little step in the right direction. And the Bible says the path of the righteous is like what? Like a shining light. That does what? That shines brighter and brighter until it becomes so bright. So if you will leave this conference and you say to God, I'm going to take a right step. I'm going to open my mind to you. All right, so that's the project. Open my mind. Amen. So I'm going to look at my 24-hour schedule, 7-day schedule, the schedule in the month. I said, what time am I giving to my mind? All right? You know, so what time am I giving to opening this east gate? And let the King of Glory come in. Amen. You see, the life of God comes from the heavens. And we can see the mind has access. But see, there is the heavens of darkness and the heavens of God. So we are saying switch off this submission to darkness and open. And there is a way to start. Start natural. You take the scriptures and you start reading. You're already in the heavens. Okay. So just quit the things here. Just take the scriptures, get a novel, get a book, get a tape, and just play it. And then keep your mind. Start from there. All right. And you try to form the habit of just having those things going on. All right. And you people have 24 hours of light. You don't know what that means. Because in my house, I've not had light for the past 6 months. So how am I going to listen to scriptures? You guys, you don't have that problem. So you are going to give account. Do you know that? Oh, yes. Yes. I have to use generators to get light. I have to devise various means to have power. You know what I'm talking about. Because there's no excuse. I must open my mind. All right. So don't take these things for granted. God has blessed you. You have power. You have power. Use it. Use it. Lay up. He says, my son, lay up my words. Build it up. You know, because when you are laying out the word of God, it is active. The word is active. See, the word of God is perfect, converting the soul. So when the word of God is there, it is working in the midst of the soul. It's like water. Yeah, just pour it. Let it, you know. Elijah says, pour it again. He said, bring the water. Pour it again. They kept pouring the water on the altar. And he said, put fire. And you know, so I want to encourage us to invest on the mind. You have the tapes, you have time, you have the messages. Go to them. Amen. And as you begin to do that, you will see the involvement of your emotions and your desire. And before long, these other things will begin to fall off. And you will see the change within the soul. And you will see the pleasure that comes to you from the things of God. So, and you see the maturity that begins to come within the soul. You see, God is raising a people that can discern darkness. That's really what, that is the purpose of this project. God wants a people that can receive the darkness. They can perceive darkness. They can understand what the darkness is, and they can reject the darkness. And then they have the capacity to command the emotions and the desire and the will not to go in the way of darkness. Amen. That is the Son. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He says the Son, as long as he's a child, is as good as a slave. Yes, you're a heir. You are called to be a heir of Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. But if you still behave as a child, then you are still under servants. You are still under tutor. That means God cannot give us the estate. God cannot promote us to the place of actually ruling in the kingdom of God. So there has to be a transition from just being called to actually walking. He says, as many as are ruled by the Spirit of God in their mind, They are the sons of God. Sons of God are those who act it. Sons of God are not those who claim it. I must act a sonship. I must be a son in my emotions, in my desire. And that place is a place of change. And brethren, I think that is what God is speaking. He said, you must seal the servants of God in the forehead. Because there's a destruction coming. If my mind is sealed with light, I cannot be taken with darkness. Because I have already trained and decided that I will not submit to darkness. So, I'm able to discern the darkness. I'm able to resist it. And I have strength. Wisdom gives you strength to resist darkness. But first of all, you must recognize it for what it is. And the Bible says, we speak wisdom among them who are matured. You know, and it says, those who have their senses exercised to separate the precious from the vile. So I think I just want to round it up here. I believe God is giving us the grace to just go beyond speaking it to the place where we can walk in it. Praise God.